the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Barbecue Bob is out on sabbatical. I'm Jop. And joining me in the studio, if you're just tuning in, is Chef Andrew Smith, a wealth of knowledge and experience. Been on the wrong side of the restaurant for his whole career. And when I say wrong side, I was on the right side because I mentioned earlier, I bet I've eaten 500 of his meals if I've eaten one. I followed this guy all over his career and where he's been, and this man can cook. And if you missed the first three segments, go back and listen to him because there's been a ton of knowledge imparted. But we're going to keep this ball rolling right now. Jump into a little fowler game. Chef Andrew is an avid hunter. As I am, he actually keeps three bird dogs at his house. So this is a guy that when it comes to pheasant, grouse, turkey, or any of the fowl, he's my go-to guy when I want a recipe or a technique. So wanted to touch on that because a lot of our listeners are bird hunters.
And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
Yep. So we talked a lot about beef before. Let's dive into some fowl, something that maybe not everybody has, pheasant or turkey. But like a domestic turkey, if you went and got one, what are you going to do to it just to amp it up and rock it up a little bit?
Again, because, you know, unless you're getting a free range turkey from, you know, a small heritage breed farmer, the domestic turkeys nowadays just don't have hardly any fat in them. And they're raised so quickly that they don't have a whole lot of flavor either. So, again, going right back to how do we get flavor into a meat, we brine it. And I love to take cider and all the Thanksgiving, you know, flavors, your sage, your fresh thyme, any of those flavors, and make my basic brine with that and just let that turkey sit in that thing overnight, even 2 days if you want. And then I like to throw that on the grill, start it at a nice high heat, cooking it breast side down, and then I turn that heat down and just let it go real nice and slow, and you get a wonderful barbecued turkey that has all the flavors of Thanksgiving in it already.
Are you using direct heat or indirect heat?
Indirect heat on that.
Okay. All right. So even with the breast side down, you're not over the fire, you're beside it.
Exactly.
Right? On the gas grill or charcoal grill, either way you want to do it.
And what that cooking it breast side down does is it's more of a common sense approach to cooking that bird. When you think about where all the fat and flavor is in that turkey, well, it's in the dark meat, the legs, the thighs, and the back part of that turkey. Well, if you cook it breast side up, all the juice from the breast runs down into the meat and thighs, and you really don't need any more juice there. Where you need it is in the breast. So if you cook it breast side down, all those juices basically naturally baste that turkey breast. And when you pull that turkey out, you're going to have a extremely moist, juicy, and tender breast to the turkey. And it cooks a lot faster that way, too.
Right. So we get, if we go to our local butcher and we get a fresh turkey, right, or the heritage turkeys that you're talking about, they're going to have a little more fat on them, right, just because of the way they were raised, the way they were fed, and they wasn't a corporate thing. It was farmer.
Exactly.
Right? Farmer Dave, right?
Yeah, Farmer Dave, Farmer Doug, all those guys, Doug Uselak up at 3J Farms in Cedar Springs, raises turkeys every year, and we get one from them every year. And, you know, the meat, the white meat is more of a off-white, you know, meat because those turkeys are allowed to free range and their wings are moving all the time. So they build a little bit more muscle structure, and the dark meat tends to be a little bit darker. I like that because it's got a lot more flavor to it. And because of the natural fat that's in those turkeys, you end up with a much juicier bird, and that's what it's all about.
Right. So let's run down this rabbit trail of natural fat in that what I want to be eating for my Super Bowl, which is coming up tomorrow. Right. And let's finish the show here with a little bit of grazing food. If we're free ranging and we're natural fat. OK, that's my best attempt at a segue. But anyway, if I'm coming to your house tomorrow for the Super Bowl party, I like grazing. What I mean by that is several small dishes. I don't want to sit down to a big meal. This is a pick it, put it on the plate, and eat it kind of thing while you're watching the game. Right.
Exactly.
What are your two or three go to's?
If I was to give you three go-tos that I love, wings, you know, are a fan favorite, especially the way we like to do them at our house is we'll throw them on a smoker and smoke them for about hour and a half at about 250, get that real nice smoke flavor in there. We'll put a rub on those wings ahead of time. And then what I like to do is, because of that low heat, we haven't really rendered or crisped up that skin at all, then I'll give them a quick flash fry in the deep fryer at outside, so I don't stink up the house and get put in a doghouse by my yeah. lovely wife.
Yeah.
But I like that crispiness on it. But then by smoking them ahead of time, you really get a nice complex flavor. So you get the crispy skin, you get the smoky flavor, and then just pairing it up with whatever sauce, you know, glaze you want to put on those wings. And a lot of times we'll just eat them just like that because they're so tasty that way. Second go-to is probably your go-to, which I call meat on a stick, and that's just marinated lamb chops. You cut them into the single bone chops, you marinate them, and throw them on a grill and just stack them as high as you can. And it's like a natural fork handle on those lamb chops because you just pick them up and eat them as you go.
Yep.
And, you know, that's really what I'm looking for at Super Bowl time is things that I can do kind of ahead of time. People can pick up. They're not having to use knife and forks. It's gets back
finger to, food, man.
Finger food and more manly styles of things.
Right. And I would be very remiss if I didn't give the accolades that are due to Chef Andrew's lamb chops. He taught me how to make these. I've made them for dozens of people, and you get the, oh, my God, that's the best thing I've ever eaten response every time I serve them. They're flash-fired on a hot grill. They're medium rare, almost rare on the inside, and they're about the they're lolly chops, some people call them. They're the Frenched bone. They've got a couple bites of meat on that lamb chop, and oh my. I'm not going to make him give you the marinade recipe because that's the secret, but good quality lamb cooked quickly on a hot fire, man, oh man, that is a good one.
Yeah, that one never ceases to amaze me on how simple that recipe is and the technique, but how much people really love it. And I know it's one that I've been doing for about 20 years, but you never seem to forget bringing that one up. And either do people when they come over to the house, they're like, hey, are you doing meat on a stick tonight?
Yeah.
And I tell you what, when you do grill those up, man, it's almost like sending smoke signals out to everybody because people come running.
We've bragged it up enough. Give them the overall 5,000-foot flyover of what's in the marinade on them because – this is what makes it. And you don't need quantities, just ingredients.
And it's really to your liking. And, right. You know, there's no secrets in food, really. So it's a basic marinade. You're using red wine vinegar, an oil. And then I like to throw in my garlic, a lot of fresh herbs. And when I say fresh herbs, I'm using more of the potent Mediterranean Italian ones, marjoram, oregano, rosemary, fresh thyme, a little bit of onion in there. And then I like to spice it up with a little bit of Calabrian red chili pepper flake. And that's about it, man. And then you pull them out of the marinade, let the extra juices, you know, get off of them, season them up really well with good salt and pepper, and on the grill they go. And that's it, man.
A lot of people are afraid of lamb. They're like, ooh, lamb, I don't really know how to cook that. And to me, it's cooked, it's a delicate steak. You're going to cook this thing a lot less than you would any cut of beef, but you don't want to overcook it because it goes from wonderful to chewy it real quick.
Right. And like I say, on the big thing, like you were saying, the high heat, you want to start rendering some of the strong flavors of the lamb, which are in the fat, out of it, which helps to increase the juiciness and the appeal when you're grilling it. You get that flare up in those flavors. But yet you want to keep that meat medium rare to medium on that.
Right. And this isn't the cheapest cut of meat that you're going to buy. So you want to step up. It's a special occasion when I do these, but I'm telling you, I kick myself. I'm like, why don't I do this more often? They're just wonderful every time I do them. But anyway, that's a Chef Andrew original in my world. And like I said, I'd have been remiss if I didn't share that with you. But for the Super Bowl for me, you know what? I hear the chicken wings. We had Matt Smith from Pit Stop Barbecue on last week, and he said he's going to do 800 pounds and sell them in 2 hours from his smoke shop, right? So it's the most widely eaten food for the Super Bowl of anything there is out there. So they are traditional. But coming up next, we're going to hit a couple more of these Super Bowl treats for you that you can make on your grill. So when your party is happening, you're going to have some fun. Stick with us. We'll be back.